The story of the prodigal son reveals one side of God's character that most people don't know about. I'm talking about the precious love of God, even when we don't love Him. The Father's love does not depend on how perfect you try to be or on what you do. It's all about your heart. It's all about what God does inside of you. The Father's love for you and me never changes. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 13, the Bible tells us, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them to his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger man gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal, or as the King James says, riotous living." You know, when you get everything you've always wanted, it doesn't necessarily bring you happiness. That young boy finally got everything he wanted. He wanted to get away from his father's control. He wanted to have everything he's been longing to get all this time. He wanted to be in charge of his life. He wanted to live where there are no rules and no regulations. He wanted to party all the time. He wanted complete freedom. He didn't want anybody telling him what to do. I imagine this young man who didn't walk down the road too far from his father's farm, but he literally ran away from everything that was restricting to him as a youngster. When he was running towards a new freedom that he thought he would be finding, all along he was actually running towards a life of fun and parties and booze and women. There was no stopping him now, and he was all ready to do it. Well, I imagine this young man was probably good-looking and wealthy after his father gave him all of his inheritance. He had a lot of friends while he had money. There was music playing all the time. The wine was flowing freely, and don't forget that the money was flowing just as freely. The Bible describes this as a wild spending spree, and that's exactly what happens. Ever know anybody who's done that? Well, I remember one day when I was over working in the Mississippi Delta at a radio station there. I remember walking into the post office where there was a long line. It was the first of the month, and it was busy. And I was standing in line as the man behind me came up behind me and another fellow behind him. The guy behind me was a big, tall, gangly sort of fellow, obviously a farmer. He was wearing overalls and a long-sleeve shirt, and he was dirty already, and it was only about 9 o'clock in the morning, so he'd already been out in the field working. The fellow that came up behind him was obviously one of his friends, and he began to share how he had gone to visit a casino the night before. He told him that he had been to that casino, and he'd gone over there because he heard they had the best steaks in town, and they were really cheap at the casino. But he said the problem was you had to walk through the room where they have those, as I like to call them, one-armed bandits. You know, those slot machines. And he said he made a mistake thinking it would be harmless just to drop in one time. He always wanted to pull that lever and see what it felt like. So he did one time. And as he told his friend behind him, "The worst thing in the world that could have ever happened to me happened that moment. I won big." He said the money began to pour out of that machine. He said it was staggering as I began to collect it all together. And he said, "My wife and kids are helping me collect it all." And she said, "That's wonderful. Let's go ahead and eat." And he said, "No, I can't quit. I'm going to have to try this again." The long story short, he ended up spending the whole night there. And before the morning arose the next morning, he had bet the family farm and lost it. He'd lost their bank account. He had lost everything to this other fella. He was in the process that morning, as he said, that he was going to be hearing from this other guy's attorney so they could make arrangements for this other fellow to take over his farm. He had lost everything overnight because he got the urge to gamble. And he was spending money like it was going out of style, as he said that night before. He said he was buying drinks for everybody, and he said he was doing all kinds of things, throwing money here and throwing money there like it was just growing on trees. And he said he never slowed down until he would totally had lost everything. Well, this young man in our story today had great fun while his money lasted. There were a few friends and party girls and something to do all the time, but this young man was in for a shock that he did not expect to happen soon, probably because he didn't expect it at all. You notice three things that hit him very hard at this point. His money ran out. There came a mighty famine in the land. He was hungry. He was a rich young man, good looking and prosperous. He had all the friends money can buy and drinks for everybody. But when there's a shortage of friends to help you spend your money, there never is until you run out of money. So you need to ask yourself the question, are the people that spend your money really your friends? Remember, a true friend loves you whether you have money or not. Life is very different for the poor in this world. Their so-called friends don't come around poor people. You see, when you get in trouble, people who are used to partying when you don't come around anymore. Who usually comes around when you're broke with no car, no house, and you're sick? I'll tell you who comes around. It's the church. It's the Christians. It's the people in this country who are always willing to help out. Well, let's take a look at the trouble this young man had gotten himself into. He was a foreigner in a strange land. He'd left his home behind, remember? He was bankrupt. He had no job, no money, no way to make a living. He has no friends now, no relatives nearby. He's bought all of his friends off, and when the money's gone, they left. And they left the minute the money ran out. There was no government handouts, no charity food bank, only pig slop left to eat. He was so hungry that he was eating pig slop to live and stay alive. He was lonely out in the weather, nowhere to stay at night when he ran out of money, no place, and he couldn't rent an inn, he couldn't afford to stay anywhere except out in the weather. He was hungry, aching from the cold and all of the elements that he was living in. You know, I hear a lot of days about the deteriorated work ethic in the working world these days. Signs on restaurants everywhere asking patrons to be patient with those few people who have come to work because they're the faithful ones who are there. Nobody wants to work, those signs say. Many people stay in at home. Many people would rather wait on the next government handout. And so they do. And they manage to find a way to survive on it. But you know what? You can't live with that kind of work ethic. You can't live when you're entertainment-based and stay-at-home-and-do-nothing-based. It won't work that way. This young man, when he finally was bankrupt, why did he take the only job he could find of slopping pigs? It's because he was starving to death. Even the job of feeding pigs didn't bring in enough money to put food on the table. He was feeding the pigs and he decided to eat their slop because he was almost at the point of starving. Now, how can we describe this man? Well, I think we could say he was desperate, don't you? He was at his wit's end. He had no place to go, nowhere to turn, nothing. He was starving, hadn't had a decent meal in some few weeks, from all we can gather. He was miserable. No man would give unto him, the Bible says. A terrible place to find yourself, don't you think? Well, let's ask ourselves this question. If he had gone around to his former friends, those whom he spent time with and the nightclubs and buying everything they asked for and spending money like it was going out of style, do you think any of those people would help him at that point? Well, apparently not. What about the young women with whom he had most likely used for his own pleasure and paid them well? Do you think they would help him? Of course not. He spent his money buying meals and drinks for others, and would they spend their money to buy him a single meal? Apparently not. There's an old saying that says, what goes around comes around. So why didn't it come around here? Well, it's because the young man gave these people pleasure that they already had frittered away rather than giving them the hope of the gospel. You see, he paid for their entertainment. He didn't share the only thing with them that really matters. And the problem is he bought his friendship. He paid his money to buy friends. So when he went to his friends, what do you think they said to him? They probably didn't say this, but here's what probably happened is their friendship was a business transaction, don't you think? The prodigal son paid for friendship, and when they gave him friendship in return for his money, it was all over and done with. The prodigal son got what he paid for. He had companionship for the evening. Let me tell you what the prodigal son probably did not do. He did not tell his friends that the money came from a wise, generous father who had worked hard all of his life to get that money. He didn't tell his friends the blessing of God on his father. He failed to share his father's love and provision for him. He never mentioned he was spending his father's money the whole time he was spending it. He didn't tell his friends of the blessings of God on his father. He didn't share the faith of his father with his friends. He shared things that drain down the toilet quickly rather than things that really matter. He didn't pray for his friends. He never was concerned for his friends. He could care less about them while he was using them to have fun. He got what he paid for. Filthy lucre. Temporary entertainment. And when the money is gone, there's nothing left. But one day, out in the pig pen, he came to himself. The Bible says in Luke 15:17-20, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Luke 15:17-20. You know, the best part of this whole story is a turning point for this young man. It's the most important event in the entire story and probably in his entire life. He came to himself. It was the greatest thing in this story when this young boy realized these four things. He had made a bad decision. He had been worse than stupid. He'd been selfish and greedy and angry at his father's love rather than appreciating it. He was in bad shape, starving, no job, no money, no place to stay when it rained or when he sleep. He had no future. All he could see is more of the same. And then he remembered the blessings of his father's house. This is probably the first time, probably ever, this young man ever had a good thought about life. He realized he was in a bad way, and he realized that people in his father's house were in a good way. Even his father's servants were better off than he. There were people who were listening to me today that are in the same bad shape because you too are on the prodigal highway. Like the boy in the story, you've made some bad decisions. You're in bad shape. You have no future. I want you to know that the servants in the father's house have it better than you, and you can have it what they have. The boy had a twofold realization. First, he realized that he had sinned against his heavenly father. To say that he had sinned against heaven is to say that you have sinned against the commandments of God, even the purpose of God, and to sin against God himself. But there's a second thing. The boy had sinned against his earthly father. His father had done everything for him, but the boy rejected his father's love, his father's protection, and his father's plan for his life. When that boy came to himself, he realized two very great truths. First, I am no more worthy to be called my father's son. He knew he had violated his birthright and his inheritance. He knew he had lost everything. The second thing he realized is, if my father would just make me as one of his hired servants, the only thing he wanted to do was to be a servant to his father. Now, folks, that's what I call repentance. But now I want you to notice something about that boy's father. He was sitting on the front porch, standing down at the road, with an eye always on the distant road, hoping and praying his son would make his way home. That father never gave up hope that his son would indeed return.
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. And I wondered then if things could ever be the same. Then one night, I remembered his love for me. And so down that dusty road, ahead I could see. It was the only time, it was the only time I ever saw him run. And then he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, with forgiveness in his voice, I felt his sad. Do you know I still love you? He caught me by surprise.
Yes, he did.
And he brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him run to me. So far away, but now I know he's been waiting for this day. I saw him run to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, I felt his love for me again. He ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son." He called me son.
The father's love. He ran to me. But you notice what that father did not say to his son after his son came home? He never said, "I told you so." He never said, "So you finally had enough and decided to come home." He never said, "You should have known better." He never said, "Why didn't you listen to me in the first place?" The father never said those things to the son. There's no trace of regret in the father. No trace of anger, no trace of punishment. At this point, this father is so glad his son has come home that he has accepted him with open arms. The only thing you can feel is that father's love and compassion toward his wayward son who has come home. Let me say to you parents, never be revengeful or hateful or unforgiving when your child who has wandered away to the prodigal highway comes back home looking for love and compassion. I believe in the law of God, but I don't believe that you want to be a legalist that forces the law to beat up your kids. If you use the law to beat up your kids, you're wrong. You're terribly wrong. See, this story is about the Heavenly Father's love for His wayward son, and it's also about His wayward daughter. You see, I'm talking to a young boy or girl who plans to run away as soon as you can because you don't like the way your father and your mother ran the home you grew up in. Maybe they make demands on you, and you think that you want to be free, but there is no freedom out in the world. You may run away from a home that has some Christian rules, but you will find out that the God of lust and greed and sex is a demanding God who will never make you happy, never make you satisfied, and never give you peace. If you run away, God Himself, the God of the universe, God will receive you back, and He will love you. Now let me say something about a prodigal who is listening right now. You're spiritually bankrupt. I'm happy to tell you that your Heavenly Father is sitting on the porch in heaven looking for you to come home. As a matter of fact, He's looking down the road waiting for you to take that first step towards home. The Heavenly Father will get up and run to you. The parable is about the love of your Heavenly Father who is willing to accept you back. And if you've never really accepted Christ as your personal Savior, would you do it right now? Don't delay. Don't put it off. If you really want to accept Christ by faith, then pray this simple prayer right now in your heart. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose again the third day. I repent of all of my sins. By faith, I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. You promised to save me. And I believe you because you are God and you cannot lie. I believe right now that the Lord Jesus Christ is becoming my personal Savior as I accept you into my heart. All my sins are forgiven because of your precious blood. Thank you, dear Lord, for saving me. And then pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to know God heard you and He saved you. I personally want to welcome you to the family of God. Contact us. Ask us for help. Ask us for assistance. Ask us if we can guide you to a local church in your area. We will be glad to encourage you any way that we possibly can. Call us at Joy Christian Radio anytime. My number is 601-557-1211. And if you get a recording, leave your name and number. We'll call you back. Thank you, and welcome to the family of God. Want to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848, or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.